good to be with you. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show, thepowerhour.com, thepowermall.com are our two websites. Got great sales going on over at the Power Mall. We'll talk a little bit about them later, but you can check that out. We got two fantastic guests later in the broadcast. Daniel Estlin will be here. You know, we talk about China. We certainly, maybe we wonder about China, but do we really know about China? And so Daniel's going to be on, among other things, an Asian's perspective on what China really is and what we should know in dealing in this trade war and what have you. Also, the Bilderberger meeting is coming up, the CFR, their connection last week when he was on. Real good dynamic for Bill. We could do with that somehow. If, any questions that you have for our guest now and Daniel, especially 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. We'll get you on as we can. Holding Now is, again, another one of my absolute favorites. And there's certain people that you just, you tip your hat to them. You respect them and you honor them and you're so glad to be associated with them. And that's our next guest. Dr. Tenpenny is an outspoken advocate for free choice in healthcare. It's what we want. Choice, right? That's what everybody wants, including the right to refuse vaccination. Oh my gosh, what a revolutionary thought. She, of course, vaccineresearchlibrary.com, drtenpenny.com. She's actually at a conference, an autism conference right now. We'll get into that and so much more. Dr. Tenpenny, it's so good to be with you. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you, Daniel. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
I want to be, the library in Alexandria, times Egypt and what have you. That basically held all knowledge or all the foreknowledge in the world, so to speak, and it was burned. Well, imagine if you took that library and instead of burning it, you just changed it all and you reorganized it. And then you took all the real knowledge and put it out the back door. Well, the reason I bring that up is because if I go to search on Google things about vaccines, I mean, I find anything. It is difficult to find articles, of things that just 2 or 3 years ago were easy to find, including, you know, vaccine inserts about shedding. You know, you can look up vaccines shed, you know, and you would have thought I would have asked to go to the moon or something. It was so difficult. Your thoughts about that dynamic and what you have seen about research and availability from Google?
Well, we are truly, that was a really good lead in, a really good analogy about the library at Alexandria and burning it. Because essentially that's what we're doing right now. We are doing electronic book burning. We have censorship all over the world. In fact, I'm here in Chicago right now at the Autism One conference. And, you know, there's people here from all over the world, researchers and publishers. And I had lunch yesterday with a gal from Australia. And the censorship that's going on in Australia is really extreme. And what we are actually, what they are actually doing is taking anything that, that questions vaccines, questions the vaccine paradigm, questions safety, looks at the research that has been published that shows problems associated with vaccines, and are saying, you can't talk about that. Unless you lockstep and goose step with the mainstream propaganda, you are not allowed to say it, read it, or share it. So we are truly in an incredible censorship period right now.
You mentioned Australia. I believe it was you, maybe last time you were on, you were scheduled to go to Australia and they canceled your trip or something like that?
That was back in January of 2015. I was scheduled to do a 7-city tour on the west, on the eastern coast of Australia. I was a keynote speaker at conferences that had about 200 people in each place. And when the propaganda pro-vaccine, hysterical rabid dogs found out about it, they turned it into an international incident. They tried to permanently revoke my visa from ever being able to go to Australia. They tried to, turned it into an international incident. I mean, the best thing that happened out of that, Daniel, is every time they do something stupid, and they try to make a big incident, millions of more people around the world wake up and go, what the heck was that all about? And they start investigating me, and they investigate things I've said over the last 19 years. They start looking at the mainstream published medical journals that show problems with vaccines, and people go, gosh, I had no idea. I'm never doing that again. So every time they do something like this, more people wake up and get into a position to revolt.
I think that's a very good point. And it's really my next question where I was going to go. Have they gone too far? Are they squeezing this bottle so hard that the cap's about to pop off of it?
I think that's a really good analogy. There's over 1,000 people here this year at Autism One, and there has been an entire track. I spoke here on Wednesday. And so Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, there's been a special education symposium on the HPV vaccine, the Gardasil vaccine. And there are researchers here, MD researchers, highly qualified people from all over the world, showing their documentation and their research from Japan. These physician researchers, whistleblowers, are here from Mexico, Japan, Brazil, Denmark, Sweden, and from all over the world, but they have published research showing the harm, the horrible harms that's causing autoimmune diseases and dysautonomia in girls and boys that have been vaccinated with the Gardasil vaccine. There's lawyers here, there's activists here, there's journalists here. I mean, this is about to blow sky high, and it's far overdue. I mean, to me, what needs to be done with the vaccine paradigm is that we need to have a complete moratorium on the vaccination program until the pharmaceutical industry and the manufacturers of these faulty products that have been declared by the U.S. Supreme Court to be unavoidably unsafe, have they shake this out and stop destroying the human race with their nasty, dirty products.
I love what you said, and it was two or three times ago that you brought that up, and it was such a change. You know, no longer we're discussing safe vaccines or whatever, or delayed schedules. Look, our mandate is until I feel that they're safe and effective. Till you prove to me they're safe and effective, no more. I think that's reasonable. That's fair. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with that. I mean, there is not one single industry on the planet other than the pharmaceutical industry that has complete liability protection for their faulty products. I mean, and the people that the pharmaceutical industry, they are convicted felons. They're criminals. They've paid out billions and billions of dollars over
wow.
the years because of, think about the Vioxx, Depakote, and the other types of drugs that have been pulled off the market that they knew before they even released the drug to the market that tens of thousands of people were going to die. And they just said, well, we'll just set aside some of the money to pay off the lawsuit, and that's just the cost of doing business. They're criminals.
I'm going to bring that.
And somehow when we there have been criminals in the drug industry, we somehow think that they're pristine and do everything exactly right in the vaccine industry.
I'm going to bring my wife on in the second half of the interview and kind of talk about some of the things that she's been dealing with, because it's like on the some of her family members who are in the medical industry, it's like they have these talking points and these words and these rolled out PR propaganda campaigns. I mean, this is organized and big time. What I want to ask you is, it there is no double blind, real placebo safety studies on vaccines?
Not one in any vaccine in any year. Going all the way back into the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, through FOIA requests to the FDA, Del Bigtree with Highwire and Bobby Kennedy have got documents from the FDA, from the NIH, showing that there has never been any studies done. Back when they released the MMR vaccine, less than 1,000 children were in any of those clinical trials that they released this horribly toxic vaccine on the entire world. It doesn't work, doesn't prevent illness, but it does cause disease. And I think that's a really important distinction that I'm starting to say a lot on the radio interviews, is that vaccines do not prevent infection. You can get a flu shot and still get the flu. You can get a measles vaccine or a pertussis vaccine and still get measles or pertussis. But the side effects are disease. Disease is something that causes serious complications in the body and stays, doesn't go away. So vaccines don't prevent infection, but they definitely do cause disease.
Now, I interviewed Dr. Tom Cowan. He wrote a book about familiar with Tom. He's out of San Francisco, I believe, or San Francisco area.
He's a really great guy. Really good guy.
Okay, so you do know him. Okay, last time I had him on, I asked him the same question about the placebo study. He said, well, there's one, or at least partly one.
There was one study that was in one of the trials with the Gardasil vaccine that they used saline, but after the study was over, they gave the girls the Gardasil vaccine anyway.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said not only that, he said there was, I think, 10,000... in the vaccine group, there was 10,000 in the aluminum adjuvant mercury group, and then there was 1,000 with just saline. And what they found after 6 months was that the long-term autoimmune diseases and both the other groups had 2.5%. That was only after 6 months, not even long-term health benefits. So they shut that down, and that was the end of the saline studies.
Yeah, well, and when you think that there, when you realize that there are more vaccines that have been approved for use in the U.S. in children, adolescents, and adults, and there was one study one time on one vaccine that included a small subset of people, then so what? I mean, you might as well say zero. You know, so
well,
what?
I agree with you. Well, see, this one of the biggest paradigms that vaccine pushers, see, this is they want to use words, I'm going to use words. One of the biggest paradigms that vaccine pushers keep shoving down our throats is safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. Well, there's no proof that it's safe and effective. There's zero proof. I'd like to I challenge anybody to show me proof positive, normal scientific evidence that vaccines are safe and effective. There is none except, like you said, some small random subset by even Dr. Cowan's words, some act of God even got through that we have the study or the limited study. There is none. There's zero.
And let's separate out that phrase. Let's separate safe from effective. Because safe is everything we've just been talking about with no placebo. But let's talk for just 1 minute about the word effective. I mean, the general population and even the, you know, you talk about using words, well, they're used words that I use continually for physicians is that they are illiterate. Illiterate. And they, and what you said about propaganda talking points, that's exactly right. So what does effective really mean? Well, to doctors and even the general public thinks that effective means once you get a vaccine, it will protect you from getting sick. But what effective really means in medical research is I injected you with a foreign substance that caused your body to create an antibody to try to neutralize and get rid of that foreign substance that was just injected into your muscle. So if I injected that in and an antibody was created, then they can accurately say the vaccine was effective because it did what it was supposed to do. It pushed an antibody response. But we know from published medical literature you can have high levels of those antibodies and still contract the infection. So being effective is not a synonym for protection.
Great. Let me ask you about shedding, because like I said at the beginning, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, I don't know, more than 4 years ago, I would look up, you know, vaccine insert shedding or something like that, and then they would show the insert, and you could see where one of the possible side effects of the measles vaccines are measles. I can't even find it now. It's like it's been eradicated. Talk about shedding.
Well, shedding only really applies to live virus vaccines. So that would be measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, and influenza if you use the FluMist vaccine and oral polio vaccines, which are no longer used in the U.S., have not been used in the U.S. since 2000, but they are still used in third world countries. So what that actually means is that if I inject a child or an adult with a measles, mumps, rubella, or chickenpox vaccine, or the shingles vaccine, which is just a souped up version of the chickenpox vaccine, that those viruses then go into the muscle, into the bloodstream, through your lungs, and you can cough them out, you can pee them out, you can shed them out in your stool, and that if someone is nearby that is susceptible, they can be exposed to that virus and contract the infection. And it really does happen. In fact, all of this measles stuff, you know, the good news about all this measles hysteria that we've had in the last few months, you know, the good news is that a lot of researchers have really dug down into the difference between measles serotype and measles genotype. There is one type of measles, so you have one serotype of measles, but you have a lot of subtype genotypes. It's like saying, you know, there are cars, you know, all the cars are pretty much the same. They've got steering wheels and tires and engines. There are cars, but there are a lot of subtypes of cars. And so with measles, there's one serotype of the virus, but there is something like 26 or 27 subtypes. And they use the subtyping because different strains of measles are only really found in different areas of the world. And that's why when there's an outbreak somewhere, why using that genotype, they can say, well, this infection started with somebody who came to the United States from, I don't know, Egypt. Because they know that particular genotype of measles is found primarily in that part of the world. So they use it for sort of tracking the movement of this virus. And what they found was that whole Disney outbreak that happened, you know, back in 2015 that resulted in SB-277, that almost all of those cases became ill from the genotype of that is found in the measles vaccine. So those people that were vaccinated with the measles had a genotype A, and genotype A was shed, and it was something like 60% of the children and adults that contracted measles, it was vaccine strain measles that caused the problem. Now, all of this science has been investigated and prepped for because of all this push for mandatory vaccination because of a stupid little viral infection that comes and goes with a fever and a rash. That the public health is hysterical over measles and saying we have a crisis that everyone has to be revaccinated with this because it's a fever and a rash. Now the death
when
rate
in
that
fact,
they keep talking, yeah, go ahead.
When in fact, probably the most publicized case of this in Disneyland, the overwhelming majority were caused, scientifically proven, by the vaccine itself, came from the vaccine itself, proven.
Right. Yep. Published in multiple places, actually, by multiple different researchers. It wasn't just like, you know, one place, one time. Multiple different people have looked into this in the last several months. The other fabricated piece of nonsense that they keep talking about is that measles death rate is 1 in 1,000. And it's got all these parents like hysterical over 1 in 1,000 kids are going to die from measles. What they don't tell you is what that number really is. It's the same type of deceptive reporting and deceptive statistics that they used back when they did the bird flu epidemic and the swine flu epidemic. The vast majority of people that contracted bird flu, swine flu, and measles, that their infection is so mild, they never even go to the doctor. But in the event that they get sick enough to go to the hospital and they are hospitalized for their illness, 1 in 1,000 of those people is actually the death rate. So you have, you know, 10 million people that contract measles. You have 1,000 of them that are sick enough to go to the doctor and maybe end up in the hospital. And of that 1,000, one person statistically dies.
Well, let me ask you this. How many people in America have died from measles?
One in the last 18 years.
Well, there you go.
But that's really an important little find. But Daniel, that is really important for people to get their head around. They did the same thing when they tried to push the bird flu. Remember when that was like the first pandemic, you know, bird flu pandemic.
Yeah.
And then they did swine flu pandemic because they skewed the numbers. They lied about the statistics. I mean, last year they said there were 80,000 people that died from the flu, but from the American Lung Association's data, it was about 700. So, you know, they do all of these things, and people believe anything that comes through that black thing called a television, and it goes into their head, and they're saying, oh, 1 in 1,000 people with measles, kids are going to die. No, it's 1 in 1,000, and think about how, you know, 1,000 people would have to be sick enough with the measles to go to the hospital, which, like, doesn't happen, ever. But yet, one of those might die, but that is the statistic that has gotten into parents' brains and how they are so hysterical about running out and getting their kids an MMR vaccine because 1 in 1,000 kids are going to die. And it's a big, fat, fraudulent lie.
We got about a minute or so before the break. And the other side, we'll get into this. We'll talk a little bit about your autism conference. Thoughts on New York? I don't think we've talked about what's going on in New York and also in California now, the new passing of extension of SB 277.
Well, California, they passed it out of the assembly. They passed it out of the Senate, and it's going to the assembly. So, you know, the activists out there in California are still pushing really hard because I think that this should be challenged at some really high level because of taking away medical exemptions. That really what we've done now is we're giving the state the authority to practice medicine without a license. And taking the ability for doctors to say, this vaccine, because of family history, genetics, all sorts of other things, would be harmful to these children. The medical doctors will no longer be able to write those exemptions. And if they do write them, the state medical board will come after them for fraud. And the children will then have to be seen by a doctor that is an approved physician that works for the public health department. And there's a very short list of very tight criteria that the CDC has put forth that they say are the approved exemption list. And if your child doesn't match up on one of those very narrow definitions, then you have to get the vaccine. It is so horrible. I can't even kind of put it into language.
Oh my gosh! There's the music on the other side. Sherry Tenpenny, she's on fire this morning. Really glad that you joined us. These things are so important because the war is now. I mean, a trillion-dollar industry, ladies and gentlemen, is pushing all their weight, leaning on this issue right now, and you got to have information to counter it. So, God bless you. Stay tuned. Vaxxer.com, thepowerhour.com.
I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X 4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
Hi, it's Joy Schreiner with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Welcome back to the Power Hour. ThePowerMall.com. We got some great specials going on over there. 20% off the Willard water and the various things. We didn't talk about these products. We got the Inca protein powder, which is fantastic. The Topperson, all on sale over at the Power Mall, 20% off. And then the Good Health Naturally products, the Alpha Lipoic R, the good kind, the full spectrum vitamin E, the curcumin, all those products from Robert Redfern are all on sale. We actually have Health Point machines too, if somebody wants Health Point machines, and Super Silver. And in a day like this, having oregano, having Super Silver, it's just a necessity. So have that in your stock. That's over at the Power Mall. We appreciate your purchases and your donations. We're funded by you. We don't get a check from Merck or Pfizer or Bayer or Monsanto. We get checks from you, and that keeps our voice independent and have people like Dr. Tenpenny on. So thank you so much. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Give Jay a call, 877-817-9829. Getting back to Dr. Tenpenny, Vaxter.com. is her website. She's at an autism conference, autismoneconference.com. Why don't you give us a little synopsis or what have you, what you spoke upon and what you're seeing there in the conference this year?
Well, the Autism One conference is every year, and it's always right around Memorial Day weekend, every single year. And this year they started early. They started on Wednesday, and they had a pre-conference symposium that's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on the HPV vaccine and education about it. HPV is the Gardasil vaccine. And there are researchers here that that have published, they're MD researchers that have published in mainstream medical journals from Japan and Denmark and Brazil and Mexico. And what they are finding is the travesty of the Gardasil vaccine that causes neuroinflammation, that causes an antibody response that breaks down the spinal cord and the dorsal ganglion of the spinal cord and causes symptoms such as severe chronic fatigue, severe unmitigating chronic pain, POTS syndrome, which means you stand up and you faint, you fall over, and a severe fibromyalgia, unlike anything anybody's ever seen. It also causes death. It causes transverse myelitis. It causes primary ovarian failure, and it causes testicular atrophy in little boys. And there's three ingredients in the Gardasil vaccine that paralyze and poison the testicles so they can no longer produce sperm. It's aluminum, it's borax, and it's polysorbate 80. And both of those have been shown to cause infertility in both male and female mice. And so that's what I spoke about. That was what I spoke about, was the primary ovarian failure and the toxic chemicals inside of the vaccines that can lead to infertility. And so other people are talking about things like greater, you know, all the data that they've mined out of the VAERS database and show that they are not, that the FDA is ignoring the serious reports that are being reported. There is manufacturing problems. Bobby Kennedy was here and did the keynote yesterday about corporate responsibility, and that, you know, it's the only industry that has complete liability protection, like I said before, for their faulty products. But there are still two ways that you can sue the pharmaceutical companies in this country. One is by fraud, and the other is by deceptive marketing and deceptively lying, when they actually knew that these products were going to cause harm, and they marketed them and made billions of dollars of them off of them anyways. So there are some really top drawer legal people here talking about how this industry is, you know, and we can only hope, is going to take a monumental hit because of what they have done to children and adults and to the entire human race, including animals. All the horrible stuff that they do to dogs and cats and cows and pigs and all these different things. It's just a 200-year mistake that needs to go away. I mean, we used to do things like, you know, leeches and bloodletting and trepanation, where we would drill holes in the top of people's heads to let out the evil spirit. Well, vaccination, I believe in the future, and I hope that future isn't too far away, but I believe that this entire vaccination paradigm will one day be looked at through the same lens that we look at thalidomide. And the thalidomide drugs that we used to give for morning sickness that caused all those children to be born without arms and without legs, and the girls had bicornate uteruses and they couldn't get pregnant because of giving a pill for morning sickness. And I believe that there will come a time when this entire vaccine industry will be looked at as so diabolical and so injurious that we'll put in the same category as thalidomide. Are you there?
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on. I mean, usually the mic doesn't cut out unless we got James McKinney talking about space or something. then all of a sudden it just cuts out. You know how that goes. So, important subject. Dr. Tenpenny, I'm going to change it slightly, but similar vein. I've had several prominent doctors on this show, and I've asked them off air about vaccines. And they've told me, you know, I'd rather not talk about it. And one of them even said, well, doctors who talk about this end up face down in the river. Do you feel that? Do you see that? And why are you so fearless in this topic?
Well, a couple things. I think that's an over-exaggeration. Doctors don't end up face down in the river. I think that that whole dead doctors thing is kind of overblown and pumped up. I don't agree with it's Erin Elizabeth that's put that together, and I just don't really support the full list that's there. I think that there have been some physicians that may have been taken out for various reasons, just like there's a whole list of dead scientists and dead bankers, and that they go against the mainstream. But here's the thing that I really stand on, because I know I'm on the right side of history, and I know I'm doing the right thing for my patients, and because I still see patients 2.5 days a week in the office, I'm doing the right thing for my patients, and I'm doing the right thing for humanity. And there's a quote that I got from a friend of mine that said, if you don't speak up because you're fearful that you may be attacked, then, you know, if you're afraid to speak up because you're afraid of being attacked, not speaking up will guarantee you will be attacked.
Oh, and so, boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah, so if you're afraid to speak up because you might get attacked, not speaking up will guarantee you will get attacked. And the physicians that are here at this Autism One conference in Chicago, which the people are listening, and it's, you know, from Chicago, it's all day today and all day tomorrow. You might want to come over. They've got really good speakers here on nutrition and health, and it's not just about autism. It's about brain inflammation and different ways to do detoxification things. And tomorrow, Del Bigtree and Andy Wakefield are both two of the keynote speakers tomorrow. So if you're here locally in Chicago, it's at the Lowe's Hotel, the Lowe's Airport Hotel by Chicago O'Hare. So just give a little push to the autism community or to this conference, that people can still come over and see the rest of today and all day tomorrow, and you will not be disappointed.
I want to bring on my wife now, and there's I've been talking about this a little bit. I think it's very important. It's not just kind of fun that we play with her family or whatever on social media. My wife, the other night, she woke me up about 3 a.m. and was all fired up because she had this long debate with her brother. Her family is very medical, but I thought it was very important, the words and the way they're coming after her in social media. Because I'd like to get your response, because I think a lot of our audience is hearing these same things. And this is a coordinated PR attack. That's the way I see it. And so I wanted to bring her on and bring this up. So, Tristan, why don't you welcome to the Power Hour.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Dr. Tenpenny.
Hi, Tristan.
Okay, so let me just go on. So I post Power Hour on Facebook, you know, and my brother is very... he's a scientist, and so is my family. They're doctors, pharmacists. Anyways, when I post anything about vaccines, and I've posted some of your stuff, the thing that comes up is I'm anti-science, or I'm pseudo-religion. I'm involved in this pseudo-religion that's coming up, or I'm a danger to public, so mandatory vaccines
answer. Go ahead. Let's do each one of those at a time. Don't give me a whole list. Let's just do each one at a time.
So anti-science, first one.
Anti-science. Well, tell him to, if you got a pen, you might want to look this up. There's a Dr. Manuel, M-A-N-U-E-L, Martinez-Levin, spelled L-A-V-I-N. He's an MD researcher scientist. He's published in journals of rheumatology. He's in journals of toxicology, at least 8 or 10 publications of scientific research on problems associated with the Gardasil. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I personally have a collection of more than 10,000 articles pulled only from the mainstream medical journals, only from peer-reviewed journals that we have collected over the last 9 to 10 years, that within the next couple of weeks will be widely available to everyone. It's going to be free. You just have to register to participate. You'll have an opportunity, if you like what you see, to donate on the way out to help support our work. But I have, what I say to people like that who say that we are anti-science, I say two things. One is, you are illiterate. You are professionally illiterate. You are choosing to ignore published research that goes against your paradigm and causes cognitive dissonance.
Wow.
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 I'm writing really fast.
Tell us how you really feel, Dr. Tenpenny. What's the other one? Well, pseudo-religious. She's pseudo-religious. She's claiming this pseudo-religious idea, and she can't get off it. She's a fanatic.
Well, I believe that the entire vaccine paradigm is a complete religion. You have a pope called Paul Offit, and you have manufacturers who are not held accountable for their faulty products, and you've taken every person that works out there in your mainstream paradigm, and you've told them that this is the way that you must believe, that vaccines are safe, effective, they cause no harm, and they are necessary for everyone because we must vaccinate so we don't have infections. Now, that is actually a religion. The religion of vaccinology, which says you will only follow these things. And the reason that it causes such a paradigm shift and so much cognitive dissonance, and Bobby Kennedy talked about this a little bit today, and in his speech that he gave in Albany last week, he really delves down into this, where he says, you know, the Kennedys, I mean, they're a big Catholic family, right? He said the pharmaceutical industry, and particularly the vaccine industry, it runs similar to the Catholic Church. You've got all of these believers and trusting the church and trusting the pope and trusting all the things that Catholics are brought up from childhood to believe. And then suddenly we started talking about all of the sex abuse inside of the Catholic Church and these priests and all these different things, and nobody wanted to believe it because this could not happen inside of our religion. Now the same thing happened with the religion of vaccine. When more and more researchers are coming forward and showing the problems with vaccines and the damages, and they've paid out over $4 billion in injury compensations, and they think that's less than 10% of the number of injuries. And we're showing unequivocally that these vaccines are causing brain inflammation and causing autoimmunity. The doctors who are inside of that religion cannot get their head around it because that could never happen inside of my religion. I so believe in vaccines, and they're safe, and they're protective, and they're necessary. And all these people like me and Suzanne Humphries and Dr. Cowan that you mentioned are coming forth with our research saying, we got problems here, people. Just like the Catholic Church, when all these sexual abuse things started coming out, we've got problems here. And the cognitive dissonance that causes, they don't want to believe it. So their only way to fight back is to call us names. Anti-science, anti-religion, you're going to hurt people by not vaccinating them. Their only bullets in their gun is name calling.
All right, what they say, you must do this for the common good.
There's two types of herd immunity. One is natural herd immunity, that a closed community is exposed to an infection and they become sick and they develop lifetime immunity. And the real herd immunity studies were actually done in the 1930s on measles, and they showed that if 55% of a population had contracted natural measles, it appeared to protect the very old and the very young because it stopped the transmission of the measles virus from one person to another. The pharmaceutical industry co-opted that natural herd immunity and rolled it into medical herd immunity and says we must have a 95% or higher vaccination rate in order to protect the herd, which what we already talked about in the first segment about shedding and all these other things, it doesn't protect anything. Effective means I developed an antibody. An antibody doesn't necessarily keep me from getting sick. Mm-hmm. And so,
and don't vaccines have a 4-10% failure rate, Dr. Tenpenny?
At least.
Don't they have a 4-10%?
At least.
Yeah, so how will you ever get 95%?
You can't. And there's even been some, like Greg Poland, who's the executive publisher for the vaccine journal, said, even if we had 100% vaccination rate for the measles, 100%, we would have to have 100% conversion rate, which we know doesn't happen, in order to stop the transmission. And those antibodies go away. They wane over time. So we don't know of all the kids that got their MMR vaccine, you know, at 1 year of age and now they're 15. I don't know. Do they have any antibodies that don't protect them anyway? All we did was contaminate them and introduce things that could inflame their brain.
All right. We got about 7 minutes.
We did nothing to stop infection or to promote the common good, which is what these public health pro-vaxxers think that vaccination is all about. All we did was make a sicker society.
We got about 7 minutes. Tristan, why don't you tell her what your sister, your family's watching this debate, obviously. I hear about this secondhand, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. But tell Dr. Tenpenny what your sister then said about, oh, we got to have a good discussion, or what was she saying?
My sister said, sad that you and your brother are fighting. Can't we just all get along? And I have friends and we differ in ideas. So why can't we just get along? And I said, the time for different ideas is no longer past when it's mandatory.
Good answer.
And one last thing. This thing shuts them up like nothing. There's no long-term double-blind safety study either.
Right. There isn't.
None. He posts like 20. He'll post like 20 NCIB or whatever that PubMed, and not one of them is a long-term safety study. None of them.
Well,
long-term to them is 30 days. And many of the studies, when you actually read them and read the detail, and it'll say, it'll say vaccine versus placebo, but they never tell you what the placebo is. And sometimes it can be very difficult to identify what that placebo is.
Yep.
But if you go back through and you dig through the FDA files of when they filed their original applications, sometimes you can find that the placebo was a meningitis C vaccine, or it was a tetanus shot, or it was some other vaccine. In fact, Del Bigtree and Highwire, they mapped that all out. They call it the placebo pyramid or something like that. And they looked at all of the vaccines that have been approved, and they went back through the medical literature, and they pulled the placebo was against MMR, hepatitis B, HIV. And they put this big, complicated diagram together and shows that every vaccine that's brought to market, the placebo was another vaccine. So all we're really doing is comparing one set of side effects to another set of side effects. And if they're both the same, they go, it's as effective and safe as placebo. And the 2016 research scientific rules that came out from the World Health Organization now say that science going forward, it's now not allowed to design a vaccine study and use a true inert placebo. If you already have a hepatitis B vaccine that we've decided is safe, you need to use that instead, because we can't have a control group out there that we're giving a shot for which they're receiving no benefit. And a shot of sterile water would be no benefit.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. That's the argument. There is no safety study. Well, it's unethical to have a true safety study. Unethical? My God, unethical? Are you out of your mind?
It goes back to the religion of vaccinology. They come up with any sort of excuse to maintain their belief system. And that's an excuse maintain a belief system.
Last thing, we got 2 or 3 minutes. And Tristan hit on something I think is really important. I've always talked about cigarettes. You know, they used to say cigarette. Doctors used to, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Winston cigarettes. Mickey Mantle recommends it. You know, I always used to say that. And it was very effective. Science used to say cigarettes were good for you, and then they didn't. I think that's where vaccines is going to go. Tristan has figured out kind of a modern-day version of this. I think is really effective. Talk about that, Tristan.
Well, we all know that glyphosate now are causing cancer, and there's huge lawsuits coming about. Well, I looked on Bayer's website, and it said with glyphosate, they've done 800 rigorous studies on the effectiveness and glyphosate, and there's no cancer related at all. So here they are. They did 800 studies. Not one of them caused cancer.
Rigorous
studies. None of them caused cancer, and now what do we have? Cancer.
And yeah, they're about to go bankrupt because of it, and lawyers are about to chew them up because they don't have immunity. And the same thing would happen to these vaccine companies if they didn't have immunity. 800 rigorous studies says glyphosates do not cause cancer, yet they're getting killed in the courts when actual proof is coming out.
Yes, it's fraud. They may, 800, they might as well be 800, 8,000, 800,000, whatever number they want to point up there, right? It's all fraud. And those studies, and the reason that we are winning in the court system is that scientists have gone through the studies and said, how can you make that conclusion off of this data? And I will tell you, of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vaccine research studies that I've read, you know, not just the abstract and the conclusion underneath the abstract, the little two-sentence conclusion underneath the abstract, you read the entire eight-page research thing, and you research all the things, and you know, like that, you get down to the end of the eight, at the end of the eight pages, and go, how in the world did they come to that conclusion off of this data? And that's how scientists continue to get funded, is because we put everything out there for you to read. This was our conclusion that our publisher said we had to have, but it's there. You can look at it and see for yourself.
Last question, again, before you go, Dr. Tenpenny, God bless you. God keep you. I just love you to death. Thank you for coming on. We're going to have you on semi-regularly. Last question. You mentioned HPV vaccine towards the beginning. Two questions. Why are they giving it to boys? Boys don't have uteruses. And then why in the world is there polysorbate 80 in these vaccines?
For the ones they give it to boys primarily because of the, there's in Gardasil 4, there was two strains that were designed to prevent cancer and two strains designed to prevent venereal warts. And so they gave it to boys to prevent venereal warts. That's it. And the same thing with Gardasil 9. They've expanded Gardasil 9 out. There's those two strains in there that prevent venereal warts. They have the other, seven strains that supposedly are oncogenic, which is another whole topic that we could talk about later or some other time. That's it. That's the only reason. Now, I think it's
polysorbate
more,
80. Why in the world is polysorbate 80 in there?
It's in a lot of vaccines because it's a flow agent. What it does is it keeps the particles, the metals and the viruses and the chemicals that are inside of that vial when they're making it in a great big vat, and then it flows down plastic tubes to be deposited in the vial. It keeps all that stuff from sticking together and sticking to the tube.
Oh, my gosh. It's an absolute pleasure. Vaxxer.com. Anything else? Where can we catch you? Anything else you want to promote? I know you got a new website or these new articles available.
It will be courses, the number 4, mastery.com. Courses for mastery.com. And it's launching as we speak, so in the next week or so, you'll be able to go to courses for mastery.com and find everything that I do.
And your radio show, you can check it out, Vaxxer.
It's with the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's every other Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Vaccine Science Bites Radio. Every other Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on robertscottbell.com. And probably by July, we'll be expanding it out to weekly, but right now it's every other week. This coming Thursday will be our second show.
Vaccine, say that again. Vaccine Science what?
Vaccine Science Bites, B-I-T-E-S. So it's a little tiny bites, okay. And it also is information to bite them in the ass. Did I just say that? I did.
God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Daniel.
Yeah, God keep you.
1-877-829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.